tonight, government has condemned what it describes as, quote, unacceptable attack on class media group journalist Samuel Adu during the Kasua market fire coverage, vowing firm action against the rogue fire service personnel. The fire service has denied the allegations, claiming they seized Samuel Adu's phone for recording an altercation without permission. The incident has sparked an outrage among journalists, media advocacy groups, and class media group, who are now calling for swift investigations and accountability into the matter. On Sunday, January 4, a major fire break was recorded at the Kasua New Market, prompting an emergency response from the Kasua Fire Station and the Wager Fire Station. The journalist Samuel Adu of the Class Media Group was reportedly attacked while attempting to film a fierce exchange between firefighters and some unidentified civilians at the market. My colleague Papani Ashale joins me in studio with reactions coming through on this particular story. Papani, now, even before we tell listeners what government has said so far, you've been reviewing the videos from the incident. What do you see?
Well, someone could you brace. So these are short videos from different angles that we managed to put together from the incident. First of all, you see that this scene where there's this huge black gate with the doused inferno right behind them. You definitely see this is an active fire scene that have now been brought under control. But you see individuals, I can count at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 individuals who at least are dressed like Ghana National Fire Service personnel who are on the ground. And then some of them wearing the overall, the one with the
protective cover.
The protective garment, the one with the reflective lights on the boots, and some of on the hat, on the helmet. There's one gentleman wearing the yellow helmet in there. There's another one belong to the Ghana National Fire Service, who's wearing their sort of camouflage top as part of his uniform with Wellington boots. So these individuals have surrounded just two individuals. If you look at the video correctly, in one instance, you see one of the personnel just wearing a blue t-shirt or possibly black, and then also with their trouser, their protective uniform, the black, they're just the trouser, and he is holding him by the shirt. And that is another gentleman who is also being held by the hand and another by the shirt, and he's wearing black. The two individuals that this fire service around are just one wearing white, one wearing black, at least from the videos managed to put together. In the black one, they managed to shove him away from the center of that conversation and push him aside, and even see that one somebody drags him
after beating him because they
I come to what they sort of had to deal with while they were in the middle of it. So in the middle of it, you realize that at one time somebody holds him, pulls him by the shirt. You can see that his singlet is even wrinkled by the time that he leaves the center. Somebody pulls him by the neck, and you can see that, and shoves him, hits him on the chest actually, and then takes him back. The guy in white as well is also having to deal with his own ordeal by that time, that somebody pushes him from behind. He finds his footing eventually, but that becomes all chaotic somewhere in the middle. There's another third gentleman actually who later is only no shirt at all, just shorts, and is being held by the shorts and being dragged around. So at some point, somebody picks up the man wearing the yellow helmet, removes his helmet, and now uses that on this guy, this shirtless guy's head. And you can hear that if you're listening to this, so you can actually hear the helmet actually hitting the person's head in that particular instance. Meanwhile, this is somebody who's being hit left, right, front, back, and eventually sits on the ground to try and stop the attacks. And these are all people surrounding him, are all in Ghana National Fire Service protective uniform. Eventually, he's brought aside, but notwithstanding that he's received his fair share of the beating on him or the attack on him by that time. So three individuals separately, but all of them at least having had a fair share of some attack from individuals who are branded in Ghana National Fire Service point or the other. So in all of them, you say that we are unable to tell specifically which of them is the journalist.
But one of them,
we are told that is a journalist in this particular set of videos that we've seen.
Well, government, after seeing the video and seeing the reaction coming out coming in from the public, have reacted to this. What is government planning to do?
Well, we've heard from the spokesperson for government, Felix Kwacho Fosu. I stick into his socials, and on the social, he wrote that, one, the attack on class media groups Samuel Adu by some personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service is most unacceptable, and I condemn same. Firm action will be taken against the rogue elements who carried out this attack. And contrary to some of the other comments that we've also heard, he at least tells us that, at least from what he told, he appears to have confirmed that one, there was an attack, secondly, on a journalist, and again, what government intends to do. And that is where he says that it's unacceptable, condemning him, that he need firm action will be taken, and those are his words, the firm action will be taken against what he calls rogue elements within the Ghana National Fire Service. So this is a statement coming from spokesperson for government, Felix Kwachiofoso.
Well, in a statement issued just hours ago, the Ghana National Fire Service says it has taken notice of the video, which has sparked public concern and allegations that a journalist was assaulted by a fire personnel. Now, Michael, you're still here with me with details of the particular statement. In that particular statement, the service is denying assaulting any journalist.
Yes. So, Brace, this statement is a two-page statement. It says that the Ghana National Fire Service has taken note of the viral video circulating on social media, which allegedly shows some yet-to-be-identified fire service personnel, and underline that that is yet to be identified. That in all of this, in regards to the journalist, they say that a yet-to-be-identified fire service personnel assaulting a civilian whose identity has not been established. The service confirms that the alleged assault of a journalist is under police investigation, and that Ghana National Fire Service will fully cooperate to establish the facts. The video captures an altercation between firefighters and a suspected thief. Then the videos that we've described earlier, the fire service believes that these are suspected thieves who had earlier attacked firefighters along with a group of accomplices at the fire scene. Management of the service has constituted a committee to investigate the incident thoroughly and establish all relevant facts. While the fire service condemns attacks on its personnel, it equally frowns upon any form of physical or verbal assault on victims by its personnel, regardless of the level of provocation. Then on the first page, the conclusion says that the Ghana National Fire Service therefore urges the public to remain calm and exercise restraint while investigations confirm it. It ends by saying that the service remains committed to professionalism and that all its mandate will continue to cooperate with the media and all others, and that will tell us what more we should expect from the fire service when the investigations come out. They will definitely make that public.
So because they've not been able to identify who is a journalist, they're denying that their person have assaulted the journalist.
Effectively, we'll hear from the PRO for the outfit who categorically tells you that nobody was attacked. First of all, he says nobody was attacked. Before later, he comes to later, no journalist was also attacked. But in the video we've seen, at least we've established one thing, that at least somebody used a helmet, another threw his hand at two individuals, separate individuals. Another was held by the shirt and moved around. So at least for that part, we know. But the statement categorically tells us that they don't know. They have yet to identify these individuals. And again, they are yet to identify the identity of those who allegedly have also been assaulted at that particular scene yesterday.
Anyway, but even if you say you've not assaulted a journalist, you cannot also, you are security personnel or people who are with the security service, so you should better know how to arrest people, even if you allege that they are thieves.
We know how they go about that, at least from the last, one of the fire incidents they dealt with last year, somewhere, I think, Ajingan or East Legon, where they told us that one of their personnel was stabbed. In that incident, they were dealing directly with the Ghana Police Service to effect the arrest. First of all, look for the person and effect the arrest. So we don't know what changed in these things. They tell us that the police was invited several times to come and arrest some people. But what is happening that we've seen on video, they tell us that these are people who escaped the initial arrest by the Ghana Police Service. And we're trying to actually bring that under control when this video was taken.
Well, we've been hearing from the head of public relations, Divisional Officer Grade 2, Desmond E. Aka, who says no one was assaulted. However, a phone of a journalist was seized and handed over to the police. He spoke on Pulse with my colleague, Fasina Safo, a while ago.
Well, so what led to the altercation was that yesterday night, during the firefighting effort, this group of people came around just to have a few days to go and deal some of the affected traders were, and the firefighters didn't allow them. So on about five different occasions, they have to call in the police to come and arrest some of them. So those who escaped the arrest of the police thought that the firefighters had denied them an opportunity to cash in on the unbent work of the traders, and therefore they felt they could organize themselves and come back to assault them. So during the process of the altercation, they managed to get one. And then in the process, a journalist wanted to film, but they took the phone and then handed him over to the police. So as we speak, the matter has been reported to the police station.
Stay there, and because that's the area of concern for most people. Yeah. Why was his phone taken, and who took his phone?
Right, so let me take this opportunity to educate Ghanaians. You know, many a time we try to tell civilians and even the public who strong emergency thing. Within the hot zone, we are supposed to maintain a minimum distance of about 20 to about 35 meters from the hot zone. So our men prevented the filming fact that should there be any secondary explosion, or should there be any other secondary, fire erupting from the hot zone, that would have saved those people there. But we don't justify any form of attack.
But what does that have to do really with the phone of the journalist? If you want to secure the area, you could have warded off the civilians and even the journalists. But why seize his phone?
Yeah, so as trained officers, when they seized the phone, the best place to have gone to was the nearest police station, of which they did. They never assaulted anyone. And as I speak with you, we understand the phone has already been handed over to the journalist.
But why exactly was it seized in the first place? That's where I want, based on your initial briefing, why did they deem it fit to take the phone of a journalist on the ground doing his job?
We have the responsibility to protect people who throng the hot zone and ensure that they are not affected by the activities in the hot zone.
And his phone was a threat to fire service personnel. Is that the case?
We didn't want anybody to be affected. You know, for a fire scene of this magnitude, the hot zone becomes a security zone. It also becomes a safe zone that we need to protect that area. And therefore, if we suspect that anything untoward could affect the life of anybody there, we need to be able to protect such individuals. That is how come the person who was trying to even go inside the hot zone to even steal was denied the opportunity and was whipped away to prevent any bad situation from happening. And therefore, we needed to do that to even save the life of the journalist. So it wasn't that the journalist was assaulted, but we are happy that the incident has been reported to the police and investigation is underway. It is not going to be any difficult thing for us to be able to identify our own personnel. So if it is established that they have violated any laws of the country, internally we will deal with them and then also subject them to any law required so that they face the law, so that it becomes deterrent.
You say you have not assaulted any journalist, but the journalist in question says otherwise. But I'm sure once this is subjected to an internal probe, we'll get to find out what exactly happened. You agree with me that two wrongs do not make a right, right? You agree with me? You agree with me?
My sister, even the video that we have seen, it is just a portion. It is just a portion of the video that we are seeing. What might have triggered the firefighters to even discipline the civilian, we are yet to know. And I am happy that investigations have begun. And I'm going to follow this investigation to the latter and ensure that the full fact on this particular incident will be made available so that at least we position the firefighter at its rightful position, where the firefighter will be absolutely resolved, will be respected, and will be allowed to do his work without any provocation.
Well, Desmond Akka has also been stressing that fire scenes will now be of limits to everyone to allow firefighters to work.
And therefore, we would want to even caution that going forward, we would ensure that the safety protocols with regard to management of the hot zone will be strictly enforced at every fire station, so that we don't put life at risk. But one thing must be made clear. We have been in this country, and the firefighter's life hasn't mattered that much to the public, the general public, most often than not, people disrespect firefighters. People say disparaging things about firefighters. And we don't see such support for firefighters. Firefighters, mind you, are people with families. They have loved ones, they have relations and all that. But they are working under strenuous conditions with limited resources. But many a time, we see firefighters being assaulted verbally and then physically. And we do not have such support from the media as we are seeing now, even though we've not assaulted any journalist. And we are happy that the matter has been formally reported to the police.
Well, so that says someone, the guy who speaks for the fire service there, Head of Public Relations, Divisional Officer Grade 2, Desmond Akka there. Now, in the last few minutes, Class FM has also been speaking. They've released or issued a statement on this development. My colleague Michael Ashley is still here. Michael, what are the details of that statement?
Samuel Bray, so this statement is signed by Alhaji Seydou Agongo and says a statement by Alhaji Seydou Agongo on the attack on Class Media Group journalists. And this comes with the letterhead of the Class Media Group CMG. And tells us that on behalf of the Class Media Group, I express deep concern over the assault on one of our journalists by personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service. Such incidents not only threaten press freedom and the safety of journalists, but also undermine Ghana's credibility and standing as a champion of media rights. We urge the relevant authorities to conduct a swift and impartial investigation to establish the facts and ensure accountability. Our journalist was performing his lawful duties and we expect full cooperation from all parties to safeguard media practitioners. We remain committed to promoting responsible journalism and call for calm as this matter is being addressed. So, Brace, this is the only statement we have heard officially from beyond the confirmation that the person was there, the journalist in question was one of their own. This is the only statement we've heard from the Class Media Group, essentially on what exactly they make of that case. And we've heard from them that essentially
they are speaking.
Unhappy about it. And they are calling for a swift and impartial investigation to establish the fact and ensure accountability, Brace.
We have more here on Top Story. This is Top Story, always brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep and assured pension. Trust into the future with you. Let me bring in someone who's been conducting media trainings for a lot of journalists in Ghana. And he's also the interim president of West Africa Editor Society, Emmanuel K. Dugbevi. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. First off, what do you make of this particular development?
As usual, it's another unfortunate development. To talk about at the very early days of 2026, considering the fact that this is not the first time we've had issues with state security agencies physically assaulting journalists whilst they do their work. It's very unfortunate, it's uncalled for, and must be condemned under no uncertain terms.
Now, you are a trainer of journalists, so you probably would know more. Now, is it wrong for a journalist to video or to film an altercation, no matter who is involved?
No, I mean, there is no law anywhere that says a journalist cannot film an altercation or any incident happening in public. There is no law. There is no such law anywhere. Globally, in Africa, anywhere. Journalists are free to do their job.
Even when it involves security personnel?
Even when it is?
It involves security personnel.
Yeah, but security personnel are not a law unto themselves. That's one. Two, they are not above the law. Security personnel are not supposed to work in secrecy. They are under the laws of Ghana, and their activities should be scrutinized. They are all accountable to the people of Ghana. They are all citizens. They are security officers hired and trained to provide security for the public. And their activities are not secret. So journalists covering security officers are on duty is not a crime. I want anyone to show me a single law in the law books of Ghana that says a journalist covering security activities is breaking the law, unless where it is explicitly stated that this is in the interest of national security. But even that, if journalists think that the activities should be known to the public because it is in the public interest, the journalist is protected by the law to expose those facts. That is why journalists exist, and that is what strengthens and enhances democracy: transparency, accountability. And so, therefore, journalists can and should report activities of every institution in Ghana that is conducted in the public.
When you listen to the head of public relations for the fire service, he seek to create the impression that the journalist was interfering, or whoever was beaten in that video was interfering in the work that the fire service was doing. So I want to ask, what consists a journalist interfering in such instances when there is fire outbreak and the media must cover it? What consists of interfering?
Well, that is a claim he is making. That claim has not been established yet. He claims that the journalist was interfering with the work of the fire service. How did the journalist interfere with the work? The journalist was taking videos. Does taking videos in any way interfere with the work? I don't know. So probably the investigation, if it's ever instituted, would establish that. But for anyone who has seen journalists operate, you know, anywhere, and we see journalists operate every day. I have practiced journalism in this country. I've done journalism outside the country and so on. Journalists are responsible. They are trained to be ethical. So I do not see how the journalist covering fire officers at the fire scene amount to interfering with their work. Probably he's giving his own interpretation to the incident that happened. But I hope that there will indeed be an investigation that will establish that.
We all look forward to that. Now, the government, in the statement of the man in charge of communications for the government, Felix Kwachi Ofosu, he says, they condemned that particular attack on the media guy and says, firm action will be taken against the rogue element who carried out this attack. This was something similar we heard when Carlos Caloni, our colleague at Joy News, was attacked. Till today, we haven't had any concrete action that has been taken. So, what must we do as journalists when these things happen, words like that come out, but little is done?
Well, like you said, we always hear government make statements about ensuring that journalists are protected and that journalists do their work and that security agency officers who assault journalists will be punished. As you and I speak now, I do not have records of any specific incident involving a state security agency officer who is standing trial or has been convicted or fired from the service for assaulting journalists. I don't have a single record. If the record is there and anyone would provide that record to me, I'll be grateful to look at it. But there is no such record. And come to think of it, Ghana has been practicing democracy for more than 30 years now. We should be growing out of these petty incidents of security agency officers attacking journalists. And then all we do is to issue statements. We should go beyond that and sanction people, because assaulting people is offending the laws. It's against the laws of Ghana, and people should be prosecuted. People should be penalized if they are found guilty by any court of law. That's the only way we can curtail these kinds of acts against journalists. Journalists have not offended anybody by doing their job. People may not like what journalists publish, but that is what journalism is about. Journalists publish what you don't want to hear. Insofar as they are working and doing their jobs ethically within the law, they should be protected, more so by state security agencies. They should be protecting journalists, not hitting them. I saw the video, and unless somebody comes to tell me the video is AI generated, it was horrendous. There was one officer who was holding plastic helmet, and he was using that to hit the journalist. That is the height of indiscipline any trained state security agency officer can exhibit in public. It is the highest form of indiscipline. Officers are trained to control themselves. They are human beings just like us, but they go through training that helps them to control their emotions. But in Ghana, it's like at the slightest misunderstanding between a policeman, a soldier, whoever is wearing uniforms, the reaction is to exhibit violence. It has to stop somewhere.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't know where that is going to lead us.
I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Emmanuel K. Dugbevi is Interim President, West Africa Editor Society. This has been Top Story, brought to you. Let's bring in the Ghana Journalists Association, and we have the General Secretary, Dominic Rogi, on the line. Grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. What does the GJA make of this development?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I must say that the attention of the GJA has been drawn to the case, and what we are doing presently is to engage to understand exactly what happened, and then tomorrow in the afternoon we'll have a presser to properly address the issue.
I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Mr. Roger is the General Secretary